I'd like to invite you to reach for your handout. This is our fourth week looking at the book of Proverbs, and we're still somewhat introducing the whole thing. We've talked about how Proverbs is all about learning the wisdom that is available to all who are willing to receive it. Last week we spoke about the need to intentionally seek it. I don't know if you remember that we are to be like people searching for buried treasure, intentionally pursuing wisdom to the best of our ability. And once you realize that that's the call, you understand that the fool is the perfect picture of what not to do. The fool is a fool because the fool will expend no effort in seeking wisdom. He won't do that because he doesn't feel the need. He has all that he needs on his own. As we look at the fool, I want to preface it by pointing out one of my favorite companies that brings me so much joy. I discovered demotivators about 15 or 20 years ago. I remember when I first discovered it, and it all started this company that puts out anti-inspirational, anti-motivational posters in playfully making fun of the motivational posters that may be at your work or your office space, these posters that are supposed to produce, you know, effectiveness and production out of you. The founder of Demotivators started it all with this demotivational poster. Motivation. If a pretty poster and a cute saying are all it takes to motivate you, you probably have a very easy job. The kind robots will be doing soon. So you get the point. It playfully makes fun of some of these things. I want to show you a couple before I use the one that connects us to the fool. Individuality. Always remember that you are unique, just like everybody else. And just enjoy that dog. Don't read it. Just enjoy the dog. Beautiful dog. But here's the poster. You're special. If you require additional affirmation, get a puppy. The rest of us are trying to work. And then finally, this is the one that most connects to our purposes this morning. Mistakes. It could be that the purpose of your life is only to serve as a warning to others. That poster accompanied with the picture of a sinking ship, and it's meant to say something that, you know, is the anti of the motivational poster. But in doing that, it actually points us in the direction of how the wisdom writer uses the fool. There is this character called the fool in Proverbs who is exactly this. The only purpose of his or her existence in the book of Proverbs is to serve as a warning to others so that we'll learn from his or her mistakes. We'll learn what not to do and hopefully extrapolate what to do. And in doing that, we'll actually prove ourselves wise, because there's a saying that the wise learn more from fools than fools ever will learn from the wise. The wise learn more from fools than the fools ever learn from wise, which is to say, we don't need just Proverbs to learn wisdom. We can gather wisdom just by seeing all of the case examples and the situations that we're in, and to say, you know, that's not the right way to go. Look where that avenue leads, and so forth. We can learn even from our own foolish behavior and hopefully correct our course. So the fool in these Proverbs is a caricature, and you need to know that right up front, but he is a helpful caricature. No one in this world that I know of, as much as you may like to think that about certain individuals, is truly and utterly a fool. Because the fool is a caricature. Now, we've all been foolish. We all see people doing foolish things. But if we're made in the divine image, no one is an absolute and utter fool. And that's the way we approach these foolish proverbs. The idea is not that anyone is this all the time, but the idea is that this characterizes your life. This is the consequences that come, and the wise should learn from the fool and his consequences. So that there's a playful quality to the fool in the book of Proverbs. We're not to hate him. We're to be like Clubber Lang in Rocky III, who then became Mr. T, but before anyone knew him as Mr. T, he was Clubber Lang, this big, meaty guy that everyone thought he's going to just tear the heck out of Rocky. And he does, till Rocky takes all of his punches and just returns the favor. It's a wonderful movie, but Clubber Lang says, "I don't hate Rocky, I pity the fool." And that's the perspective we're to have. We're to understand this is not the way to live. And when we live this way, or we see others living this way, we need to listen, learn, correct, and change our course. Because you could define the way of the fool down to one point. There's one thing that characterizes a fool, and it connects to our last week's message. The fool doesn't seek wisdom. They won't seek wisdom. It's not that they can't, they won't. It's not simply that they are ignorant, there's a certain arrogance there. So that as we look through some of these descriptions, we'll see why it is that the fool won't seek wisdom. And perhaps the biggest reason is arrogance, or they have this attitude of knowing it all. Look at our first proverb. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing personal opinion. So the fool's not listening to anyone to learn. They don't want to have insight or understanding gained from hearing other people's perspective. There's only one perspective that needs to be said, and that's the fool's perspective. There's no other opinion to be had. Only his opinion counts, and all should listen only to him. He is his own pope in the church of one, and he is like the worst speaker, intoxicated by the exuberance of his verbosity. Which I love that phrase. He's intoxicated by the exuberance of his verbosity. You see the foolishness flowing from me right now? You know, there's a sense in which the fool just loves to hear himself speak, and everyone else just needs to shut up so that his opinion can be stated forthrightly, because no one else's opinion really matters. Why? The fool's always right. Look at the second proverb. The way of a fool seems right to him, but the wise listen to advice. One of the points of the book of Proverbs is there's more to wisdom than your perspective. So that you come to the book of Proverbs trying to learn from the experience of others. People who've lived through life, they've had its ups and downs, they've learned its lessons, and they're offering you wisdom from their own experience to help guide your own. The fool doesn't feel a need for anyone else's wisdom but his or her own. And because of that, when you try to correct a fool, you'll find that it absolutely goes nowhere. The third proverb, do not speak in the hearing of a fool who will only despise the wisdom of your words. So there's no use trying to correct, there's no use trying to discuss, there's no use trying to debate. You're not going to be heard because the fool has no interest in hearing anything other than their own opinions. And that sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? Don't speak in the hearing of a fool who will only despise the wisdom of your words. But if you turn your sheet over and you look at verse 6, this is what Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount. He understands there are situations that one can get in where there's no use talking anymore. There's no use trying to defend or to speak or to debate. And that's why in verse 6 he says, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Do not cast your pearls before swine. We're reading a book in staff that has a wonderful little saying that says, don't wrestle with pigs, because both of you will get dirty, but only one of you will enjoy it. That's a wonderful statement. Both of you will get dirty, but only one of you will enjoy it. And it seems like Jesus knows enough of the wisdom regarding the fool to know some people, you're just not going to get anywhere in speaking the truth. There's no room for open discussion. There's only the foolish opinion that can't be thwarted. So when you put these first three proverbs together and you see that quality, what we want to do is, through this caricature of the fool, extrapolate, well, what do we do then? If the fool won't listen because he knows it all, what does the wise do? Well, obviously, the wise needs to listen and to be open to learning from others, to understand there's always more to reality than your own perspective. There's always more to reality than one point of view. No matter how smart, how wise, how experienced you are, you only have one point of view. You only have one perspective to give. And in reality, the truth is that there's usually not just one side to any story. There's usually two, three, four dozens of sides to any story. So that when we come at life, in order to really learn and grow wise and to understand the breadth of what reality is and what life is meant to be, we need to listen to others. And that's what wisdom's about. Learning from others, learning from others' experience. This, of course, should be placarded upon the foundation and the walls of any church, that we want to learn. We want to learn from others. We want to be able to speak truth. We want to be able to speak it openly. We don't want to be put off by truth, because if there's any place where truth should have a fair hearing, It's in the church. You shall know the truth, Jesus says, and the truth shall set you free. But, I love this saying, yes, the truth will set you free, but it'll make you miserable first. Because it'll go against your perspective. It'll challenge your opinion. It'll make you realize there's more to be understood than my own perspective. This is why the church, if anyone, should be the one that is first to listen to Me Too movements, to think about Black Lives Matter issues, to listen to Muslims and Hindus, to hear the concerns of immigrants and refugees, to understand what homosexuals and the LGBTQ movement is going through. We should be the first to listen, not because we want to correct right away and debate, but because we only have one side. We want to learn. We want to discover. We want to understand. We don't have to agree at the end of the day. We might not agree on solutions given, but it never hurts to listen, does it? And isn't that better than our world that instead of listening immediately goes into debate mode in order to destroy another person's argument rather than try to understand what someone might be saying? Let's not be so influenced by our media and our culture that we are just decided that whenever we hear an opposing view, we're going to destroy it. Maybe we can learn something. The fool is the one who has nothing to learn. The wise understand we can learn from everybody about every situation, and there's more to every story than our own particular experience. So we should listen. We should learn. We should be open. Because to close ourselves to listening and learning is to play the fool. Now, one of the reasons that the fool is closed to learning is because the fool is far too easily offended. Notice our fourth proverb. A fool gives full vent to anger, but the wise quietly holds it back. So that when you offend the fool, you'll know it. Because they're going to speak up and make sure you get an earful. They're going to make sure you know you have offended them and you've said things that shouldn't be said and they just don't want to hear it. There's this brashness and impulsiveness that rather than sitting and listening and self-control and trying to understand and learn, the fool, when he or she hears something contrary to what he or she thinks, immediately lashes out. Now, the place you see this most clearly is on Facebook. I mean, you know which of your friends are just darn fools when it comes to their responses. Something is written and they just got to, if they disagree, just lash out, say the worst thing. But they just got to get it out there. They can't hold it back. They can't keep it in. They got to make sure that they've said what needs to be said because the whole world needs to hear their opinion. And doggone it, they're offended. And because they're offended, they're going to lash out. And that's what this proverb's about. The fool only committed to his or her opinion when that opinion is opposed, is completely offended and has to lash out. So our proverb writer tells us, well, the fool gives full vent to anger, but the wise hold it back. There's some self-control. Look at the fifth proverb. It's honorable to refrain from strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. So if that's the characteristic of a fool, what then should the wise do? And it seems like this is where prudence becomes very important. To instead of being hasty, impulsive, to be self-controlled. To realize you don't have to debate everything. You don't have to cut down every view or perspective or thought that perhaps is in clash with your own. The world would exist just fine with people with diverse perspectives. We will all get along as long as we don't resort to violence to prove our point. So in doing that, we realize, you know, maybe instead of bringing more heat to the argument and making the flame brighter, maybe it'd be wise just to sit back and see how this plays out. Maybe it'd be wise to not respond so impulsively. There's a proverb, Proverbs 17:28, which isn't on your list. You've heard it, though, before. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. You heard that one before? Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. I use that one all the time. I mean, I live that one all the time. I love for you to think I'm wiser than I am because I'm just going to shut up and let the argument play out. Because, you know, most of the time I don't have the answers you think I do. And so I'm just going to listen, let it play out. I'm not as committed to most sides as most others are. So I'll just kind of sit back, listen, try to discover if there's anything to learn here, and make sure that nobody thinks I'm a fool because I'm just lashing out. So that I sit back, and I love that proverb. You've probably heard it in its more modern form. Better to be quiet and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. Have you heard that one before? Better to be quiet and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. So the fool won't learn because he knows it all. He can't learn because he's easily offended. Diverse opinions, anything other than his perspective, is offensive, and so he just can't learn. And at the end of the day, the third and last quality I want to focus on here is it's hard for him to remain silent because they actually enjoy being offensive. They actually enjoy ruffling feathers. They actually enjoy, you know, this sense of, yeah, I'm creating a stir. I'm going to cause as much trouble as I possibly can. Look at the sixth proverb. Doing wrong is like sport to a fool. Sport means it's pleasurable. The fool just loves it. It's a pleasurable thing. It's like a wonderful game. Let's play the game of doing wrong. Whereas wise conduct, to continue the proverb, is a pleasure to a person of understanding. So one of the reasons why the fool remains perpetually a fool is they sort of enjoy the whole process of shouting out their opinion, being offended when their opinion is undermined, and making sure that they're ruffling all the feathers in the process that they can. In other words, the goal is not to bring people together, to bring people to understanding, to help insight to grow or compassion to develop. The goal is just simply to raise feathers and to raise the ire of others. And that's such an enjoyable game for the fool. Why would they ever stop? That's the game they're playing. Well, those are the three qualities, and what makes the fool so devastating as a caricature is where these three qualities lead. One of the dangers of this is a hard-headedness that is unchangeable, which is presented in a humorous way. Most of you don't get this humor because we're not ancients, but look at the fourth proverb from the bottom. Crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, which is an ancient way of saying just beat the guy to a pulp. Just smash him, smash him, smash him, smash him. Grind him to, you know, just dust. But the folly will not be driven out, which is a way of saying the fool never learns. The fool won't change. The fool will hit bottom and realize, you know, there's more bottom. I can go lower. I mean, I could even go lower. There's no correction, there's no learning, there's no sense of seeking to solve a problem. There's not enough pain in the world to get the caricature of the fool to change their behavior. They will continue on in it. Now, this is where you see a caricature, but we all know what it's like to live. I've lived foolishly. I've done things and continue to do things like beating my head against a wall till my forehead's bloody and just thinking, I'll just keep doing this. Eventually, this might heal me. Eventually, it's got to turn out good. That's foolishness to think that a different outcome is going to come from some sort of wrong behavior or wrong perspective. The third from the bottom is similar to this. A rebuke strikes deeper into a discerning person than 100 blows into a fool. And the point is, you could beat the fool 100, you could just pound him 100 times, and it won't make the kind of dent that a rebuke will for a wise person. Because a wise person will listen to the different perspective. They'll listen to the wisdom. They'll try to incorporate it. They'll try to understand it. They allow it to sink in, where the 100 blows never sink in. All they produce are bruises and welts, and the fool keeps on in their merry way. So we have a hard-heartedness. We have a destructiveness. We have this, which I don't have in your handout, because it's the most gruesome, and I wanted to show my picture. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. Do you guys have dogs? Anyone have a dog? My dog will eat my cat's poop and enjoy it. My dog, when it vomits, will just go about lapping that vomit right back up. This is the writer of Proverbs observing life and saying, you know, we can learn from this behavior of dogs. There's even wisdom in some of the dumb things that dogs do. They go back and lap up their vomit. That's disgusting. Haven't they learned that their body rejected it in the first place? And if there's no reason to try to take it in again once it's been already rejected? And that's the picture we're given. We're supposed to learn that being hard-headed leads to this very destructive end, which usually produces a lot of collateral damage. We're almost done here. If you look at the second one from the bottom, you see how destructive this foolish behavior is. Better to meet a she-bear robbed of its cubs than to confront a fool immersed in his folly. Which is to say, they not only are destroying themselves, but they will destroy you and anything in their sphere of influence, because their foolish behavior brings collateral damage. It's not just the consequences they bear in their own life, but there are consequences to those in their immediate vicinity. So that the Proverbs writer says, and it's our last proverb, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. There's a big emphasis in the wisdom literature to say, learn from the wise. Walk with the wise. Be with the wise. Because the way of the fool is a dead end. It just doesn't lead anywhere. And in fact, many times it leads to absolute destruction. And so try to learn, try to grow, be connected, be ready to learn, be ready to have your opinions challenged and so forth. All of this, if you wanted to put it in a modern perspective, because this is ancient literature, 2,500 years old. One of the ways you could look at this is our fool basically is on a total ego trip. I mean, life is about them. Eberhard Arnold, he was a pastor at the turn of the 20th century. He tried to form a little community in Germany that was trying to live out the peaceful principles of the gospel. And in doing that, he recognized some people just didn't fit into his community or they left very quickly. And he determined this, that the sickness of the world lies in the isolation of the actuated ego. An individual who feels no pain but his own cannot identify with the world's suffering. He cares only for himself, fights only for his own existence, and seeks only his own improvement and happiness. In this way, he increases the suffering of others, and because of this, he is a parasite that endangers the whole. You could summarize all of that by simply saying, the goal of Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. The goal of Proverbs is not self-improvement. It's not self-actualization. It's to learn how to live in God's wise and ordered rule as a divine image bearer, living in the fear of the Lord, taking God seriously, and in doing so, living a life that flourishes and brings blessing and flourishing to others. So it's not just about our own self-improvement. It's about the flourishing of the whole. In the end, the fool has only one concern, himself. It's all about him, his opinion, his way, his pleasure, even if it brings trouble to others, it's all about him. And you find in the end that our fool is the one who has no capacity for any self-criticism. They simply will behave like this no matter where the road leads. Now, we're almost done. Do you remember at the beginning I said the fool's a caricature? No one really is a fool. And again, you might try to put different people in there, but remember, judge not lest you be judged. Think about the mote in your own eye before you go after the log in the others. I hope you're not listening thinking, yeah, that guy's a fool, that guy's a fool, she's a fool. No. We're supposed to think, where are we foolish? How can we learn from the fool instead of pointing fingers at the fool? And the fool is there as the mistake we don't want to make, as the wreckage we want to steer away from. And so seeing him or her as a caricature, we then could say, you know, we've all been foolish. We've all done things that are not wise. So what's the difference between the wise and the fool? When the fool makes a mistake, he doesn't learn. You can pound him 100 times, he won't get it. When the wise make foolish mistakes, they think about it, they come to their senses, they admit I've been foolish, and they try to change their ways. The prodigal son's a perfect example of this from Jesus' story. You want to talk about the fool in Jesus' story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son says, Dad, I wish you were dead. I'd like your inheritance. I want to go spend it. He spends it all on hookers and blow. And he just degenerates to the lowest level. That's what he does. You read the story. Till he's in a pigsty, dirty with the pigs. And in that pigsty, he comes to his senses. And he comes to his senses and thinks, you know, this has not led me to the best place, but my Father, who loves me. If I go back and I say, I was wrong, this wasn't right, will you accept me again? What can I do to be accepted? You all of a sudden realize that the fool who was at his heart, the true fool of Jesus' story, comes to his senses, admits his error, and changes his course. This is what the book of Proverbs is about. The book of Proverbs has wisdom crying out in the streets, personified in such a way that we're told wherever you go, in whatever situation you're in, wisdom's always crying out. You can find it through Proverbs like this, or you can just look at foolish behavior, and it's there if you're willing to listen and learn. And we're meant to listen, though, so that we might have a legacy. Proverbs 3:35 says, "The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor." Every funeral I do, thank God, for the most part, I bury good people. And I'm able to say at the end with absolute honesty, integrity, that there's no greater legacy than a life well lived. I say that often because to me the greatest gift that anyone ever gives their loved ones is they live their life well in such a way that they leave an honorable legacy. And you say, you know, there's something valuable that we've lost. There's a space that's missing. This person really is an honorable person that we just are going to miss. We have a legacy that's well worth it. Well, if you want to see the legacy of Fool Leaves, we move from caricature to reality. And just know, I'm going to show you something that's just devastatingly hard, and yet it's somewhat humorous at the same time. It's this really odd thing because it's true. I don't know if any of you saw this. It was an obituary that made the rounds in social media about a month ago. It also made major news stories, so this isn't crafted or created. This is the real thing. This is Kathleen Demlow. Kathleen Demlow, this is her obituary in the paper, was born March 19th to Joseph and Gertrude Schunk of Wabasso. She married Dennis Demlow in 1957 and had two children, Gina and Jay. In 1962, she became pregnant by her husband's brother, Lyle, and moved to California. She abandoned her children, Gina and Jay, who were then raised by her parents in Clements. She passed away on May 31st, 2018 in Springfield and will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that this world is a better place without her. Yeah, there's some issues there. And, you know, everyone kind of says, oh my gosh, that's horrible. And, you know, Gina and Jay, that's probably not the best place to air the dirty laundry. And yet, it shows you that foolish behavior has consequences. Foolish behavior that's not changed, that's not transformed, that there are consequences. And whatever the truth is, Gene and Jay felt that their mom had made a decision at a certain point that led her life to being absolutely useless to others. In fact, so useless they weren't going to miss her presence. Well, we don't want to live like that. We want to leave a legacy. We don't want to be the mistake that others learn from, which is why I want to give you one last demotivator, and it's one of Jesus's. Jesus actually had a demotivator. He had plenty of demotivators, but one of them is the story of the wise man who builds a house and the foolish man. This would be his demotivator, that the wise man built his house on the rock, the storm came, the house stood firm because he built his life on wisdom. But the foolish man builds his house on the sand, and when the storms come, his house is destroyed. It becomes the warning to others. It becomes that demotivator, mistakes. It may be that the only purpose of your life is as a warning to others. May we heed wisdom's call and be saved from the fool's wreckage. May we be wise who learn from fools instead of fools who cannot learn and will not learn from the wise. Because we don't want, at the end of the day, the purpose of our life to only serve as a warning to others. Would you pray with me?